You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is a show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And I want to thank you for joining us today. What we're going to be speaking about today, the topic's going to be about the pink sheet markets, OTC Pink or OTC ID, however you want to classify them. If you're not familiar with them, then that's good for you. That means you're dealing with higher grade assets. But the pink sheet market, basically that's the bottom cut. That's where you go and you're swimming in shark infested waters, and who knows what's going on there. There's reporting standards aren't there. There are a lot of a lot of things that can transpire there. I'm gonna go through that during the show to give you a better idea. Basically, these securities, they trade over the counter. They're not on a national exchange. They're on the lowest reporting tier of the OTC market structure. The lowest tier, as I said, the bottom cut, bottom of the barrel. When you're scraping it, this is what you see there. Basically, what happened not too long ago, the OTC markets, they reorganized the structure of how their OTC securities are listed. They have three tiers, okay? And first tier is the OTCQX. That's the highest tier. That's when, before you're going, NASDAQ, stringent financial and disclosure standards, that's when you're headed higher. You have the OTCQB. It's a venture market for developing companies. The reporting is minimum, and you need verification requirements. So that's a different type of thing. Then you have the OTC Pink, which is also called the OTC ID or Pink Current, Pink Limited, whatever you want to call it. It's the lowest tier, bottom cut of the barrel, minimal, disclosure standards, inconsistent, probably never filed type of thing. You won't find too much out there. The ones that do file and are getting things done, maybe they're looking to elevate it, but typically, they're used for a reason. You have some subcategories like current information, limited information, no information, and my favorite, caveat emptor. This is when you have the buyer beware designation. You have the skull and the crossbones. Be aware of what's going on. That means that there's something wrong. But people, I don't know, they still push it and they still try to get involved. But typically the type of companies you're going to find on here are really, really early stage startups that they don't have the resources for a higher exchange. They don't have the assets. The company is not worth enough, doesn't have enough shareholders, doesn't meet the requirements for anything higher than being on there if they choose to be a publicly traded company. And that's the reality of it. Now you have some former exchange listed companies that were delisted for a number of reasons, whatever they may be, and sometimes they get knocked down there. A lot of shell companies come that route. They're vehicles where you can do a reverse merger and take your company public easier than going and doing yourself, or you can buy a shelf company and make it into a shell, or make it into a company and file it and do those type of things. Foreign companies with limited U.S. disclosure requirements can find themselves there. Distressed businesses or companies, they're undergoing restructuring and stuff, they can find themselves there easily because they don't have to report the things that should be reported. Now, you highly speculative ventures. These are companies that they're promoting. They're promoting that they're doing a thing, whether it be artificial intelligence, blockchain, cryptocurrency, data center development, clean energy concepts, rare earth or mining exploration, and all that other fun stuff. They do that, use as a vehicle because they can sell those shares, you know, to the investment public. But, you know, again, with a pink sheet company, you know, way back when, the pink sheets, literally, they were pink sheets. They were vertical sheets that you had to look through because there was really no market for it. It was, you know, you're dealing with one group to another and you try to sell it off and the spread was ridiculous. And this is where you had, you know, you had brokers that were really involved in this space and they were making big cuts. Okay, the spreads were ridiculous. You know, they were making 20, 30, 40, some cases 50% spreads from the bid and the ask. All right, that's why you had a lot of things, you know, in the 90s that were going on. You had a lot of individuals that were making a lot of money, but at some point in time, they got in trouble. That's what happens when you try to scam the investment public. Okay, now the pink sheets, you know, they've been criticized for the longest time for their structural weaknesses, and you know, and they should be, right? Because you have minimal regulatory reporting requirements. They don't need to adhere to a lot of things with the SEC. That's what makes it a little scary, the transparency. You don't have it. That limited transparency into financial statements or business operations, you don't know if this is being operated from somebody's basement. All right? You don't know. You don't know. And this is where it gets scary for an investor. Okay, so typically the investors that are jumping into this aren't the most sophisticated. You have thin liquidity, you have the wide, as I mentioned, that huge bid and ask spreads, and the price discovery, very difficult. You have to get quoted on it. And you're talking about manipulation. You know, it's susceptible to manipulation on another level. Pump and dump schemes, things of that nature. That's why you as investors need to be careful. Be very aware of what's going on. Okay, because you have these stocks that you have promoters that are going in there and they're running these campaigns, newsletters, they're going on Telegram, this, that, Instagram, they're going all over the place using social media to do a thing. You have influencers that are getting involved too, and it drives trading activity, and the fundamentals aren't there, and what happens? It becomes one big pyramid scheme, because at some point in time, the bottom falls out, and now you don't even have a bottom cut, you just have the ground, and that's it. And this is what transpires. You know, it happens a lot more often than you think. It's been happening for the longest time. You know, going back to the 80s, 90s, you know, this is not something new. It just has a new name, OTCID, that's the name. Because of these characteristics, the market can become a breeding ground for bad actors, okay, where you can have a platform where marketing narratives, they're going to outweigh the verifiable financial performance, meaning that they'll tell you a thing, but you can't prove it. They'll say, well, we're doing this, we have this, we have this, we are doing this, we have these mining things, and this is what we have, and they can show you something, you don't even know if it's a reality or not. And that's the problem there, the transparency. Okay, you know, you have retail investors, they unknowingly, they assume the outsized risk, and they're thinking, okay, this is active, there's a lot of volume, there's things going on, but they can be wash trades. You don't know what's going on. Okay, you're jumping into the deep end. Okay, you're jumping in the deep end with cement shoes. All right, and that's, you just got to be careful. You got to be careful. I've seen enough of these deals during my career to make an informed opinion on it. Okay. You know, it's not just coming from nowhere. I've seen it myself, my own eyes, what has transpired and what does transpire. You know, and having this insight, I'm trying to share with the listeners so that maybe this will help you. Just be aware, because, you know, you'll get promotional campaigns in your email, in your Telegram, your Instagram, whatever. You see a post, and it'll be about trending technologies, AI, blockchain, data centers, energy transition. green energy, space or defense technologies, blah, 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 all this stuff, okay? You have these press releases with that come out. I mean, it's ridiculous with these large projected markets, but no revenue. They have all this stuff. We're worth a billion, but we got nothing in the bank. We have nothing going on, but we're worth a billion. Okay, good luck to you. All right, now, strategic partnerships, that's another thing. They put out all these announcements about strategic partnerships that are vague, unverifiable. Oh, we have a partnership with this one, that one, this one. Makes it look like you're busy. Makes it look like you're bigger than what you are. But at the end of the day, you have nothing. Okay, and you see this happen with private companies, too. It's not just the OTC, you know, ID companies. You see what private companies do, too. They do this stuff when they're looking to get investment, and they wind up going and hyping things all over the place, trying to get people and, you know, interested in what they're doing. Doesn't mean that they have the things in play. You know, I mean, a lot of talk and not enough walk, in my opinion. Okay, you have that, the aggressive social media promotion. You see it, and you see it. You have to, you can't avoid it, right? It pops up, especially if you're on X or something, and you look at something, it'll just keep coming on your feed because it thinks that you want to see that. Just don't look at it. Okay, now, and then you talk, and this is the best, the claims of imminent uplisting to a major exchange. All right, I'm going to go over this about the reality of uplisting from the pink sheets and the OTC ID. I'm going to go over this in a second, but, you know, look, you have the shiny new object effect that drives this speculative buying. Even when there's no fundamentals, the financial statements aren't available, the company has little operation history, you don't even know who the guy is who runs it, what they're doing. The corporate structure is so opaque that, you know, I mean, your local grocery store probably has a better structure than this company that you're looking at, and that's the truth. Okay, and the reality of uplisting from pink sheets, well, oh well. Now, contrary, and people are going to hate to hear this, but contrary to promotional claims, moving from the OTC ID or pink to a higher tier or exchange is neither simple nor it's fast. You are not getting there in a day, right? Moving to the OTCQB requires a bunch of stuff. Current financial reporting. That means you're reporting to the SEC, you're reporting, you're filing all your documents. These are documents that have to be approved and everything else. Okay, you need the annual verification by a qualified third party. All of this costs money. Management certification, costs money. Minimum bid requirements, you got to get market makers on your side, costs money. That means you're taking on toxic debt and everything else in the process as a company, if they even give it to you. Okay, the corporate governance standards, oh, again, money, 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 all of this stuff, it costs. It costs something, okay? And that's the reality there. Now, moving to the NASDAQ requires meeting strict criteria by the NASDAQ. No question, NASDAQ is getting tighter. New York American is getting tighter, and their thresholds are getting higher, and their tolerance for nonsense is getting lower. So you're going to see a lot of the listings with, and you're going to, on the NASDAQ and New York American, companies that are falling below that compliance level, they're going to be doing some funky stuff. They're going to do reverse stock splits. They're going to take on toxic debt. They're going to try to do everything they can to stay on there. But at the end of the day, if you're not fixing the problem, you're just delaying the inevitable. Okay, again, you wind up zipping down real quick. So moving to the NASDAQ, you need minimum share price thresholds. You need market capitalization requirements. That means you need assets. You need business. You need stuff going on. You need shareholder equity standards. You have to have the shareholders to go and you need the shareholders there. Without the shareholders, you're not meeting those requirements. You know, independent board governance. It means you got to get board members on your board. And the financial reporting, as I mentioned earlier, it has to be SEC compliant. That means it has to be approved. They look through it. Okay, and if it's not approved, guess what? You can go through months and months and months and months and 6 months, year, whatever the case may be, just to even get them to approve it. And now, with the SEC kind of on a skeleton staff, these approvals aren't going to be going as quickly as people think. It's going to take some time. Okay. Now, the process requires some of the following: audit of financial statements, legal and accounting reviews, exchange application procedures, and regulatory approvals. Look, it costs. It's going to, all this is costing, and it's costing money, and it's costing time. And you know the thing is, people will tell you, oh, we're going to uplist, and we're going to uplist, we'll be there in a month or two. No. Okay? It can take a year. It can take 2 years. It takes time to go and move up, especially to the NASDAQ. You don't go that quickly. You have to take the steps. See, you have to try to get on the OTCQB, and good luck. You have to meet all the requirements. Okay? And it's going to be costly to do so. And then after that, you know, to get on the NASDAQ, you know, they're not looking at these companies that are trading on the OTCQB to uplist to the NASDAQ. They need to meet their strict requirements first, and they'll look into everything. And that's part of that problem. Okay, now, investors, you guys got to be vigilant. You know, when you're evaluating Pink Sheet Securities, OTC ID securities, you got to approach it with some heightened caution. You have to adhere to some due diligence practices for yourself. Confirm whether the company is filing reports with the SEC. Just go to the SEC website, put in the company information. You'll see stuff there. If they have a press release out there, look at it. See if anything's on there. Okay. Review the information on the OTC Markets Group website. They have information, disclosure status, and everything else. And that way you know what's going on. You know, financial statements, if they're available, analyze them. If they're not, then you know what you're dealing with. You have to verify the corporate officers and board of members. You have to see who's in there, who's in the mix. Because at the end of the day, if you have one person on there and no one else is on there, you don't know what's going on. You really don't. And you have companies on there, as I said earlier, that are just shell companies. They're looking for a reverse merger in order to bring it live. And they'll sell these companies. They'll sell this shell anywhere from 50 to 400 grand. And people buy them to get on there. I don't know why you would want to get on the pink sheets, unless you had a game plan, a real game plan to move up. And that game plan is going to take some time to conclude, that's for sure. Okay, now if you have an OTC ID company that has no filings, you have to determine whether this company is going to even provide any audited financials. Okay, and you have to look through the OTC disclosure news service. They give you information there. That's the thing about the OTC markets. They give you a lot of information there, so they're trying to do the right thing. They're also trying to give these smaller companies on the pinks, give them an opportunity to uplist, but they have to meet the requirements because they're not going to tarnish their reputation for one company. Right, so you know you have to look also search the state corporate registries, confirm the company exists in the first place and is active. Okay, look for third party verification or independent auditing and stuff like that. Look at the management, look at the past ventures, look at who's involved and what they've done. If you have someone that has been involved in 10 companies like this, you know what does that say? That's scary. And be skeptical. Be really skeptical of the press releases that go out there, and they're basically promoting that we have a quadrillion dollar deal, and we have this, and we have this, we have that. Meanwhile, they own nothing. They own nothing. Okay, this is their hopes and dreams, and you're going to pay for it because they need to go pay their rent. All right, be careful. Be careful. And in the absence of credible financial disclosures, you know, this is elevated risk. You have to know this. Know this. Okay? And if you're going to get involved because you want a flyer, make it a limited deal. Limit it. Don't go in and say, I'm going to put 200 grand in here, or 100 grand, 50 grand. No. You want to put a grand, a thousand, go right ahead. If that is your risk tolerance. But I would not, you know, just make it limited for your protection. And you have many professional investors in general. They avoid these securities entirely, and I don't blame them, because it's just it's the Wild West. You know, at the end of the day, when you're looking at these OTC pink sheet companies, they do serve a role in capital formation for small companies, giving them that opportunity. However, because of the lack of transparency, you get a lot of bad actors in there. So it overshadows the good companies that are trying to build up. That means that they have to go and explain themselves a lot more. Okay, you know, it's you know, basically justifying that, hey, we're a good company, we're not like them. But they've heard that before, right? So you prove through your actions. Okay, you know, investors, you guys, rigorous due diligence. You have to do it with these companies that don't have this stuff, you know, this information out there. Don't rely on some promotional email. You do that and you get snagged into something and you lose your money because you didn't, you know, listen to the show, or you didn't hear it from someone else, or you weren't just vigilant. Then you did it to yourself. Okay, and that's the reality of it. All right, look, you know, again, you have some companies that go on the pink sheets for a reason, all right, and they try to evolve in something greater. But make no mistake, even if they go on the OTCQB, they're not going on the NASDAQ anytime soon. They're not going on the New York American anytime soon. And I see this often. You see a company, they promote, we're going to uplist. Yeah, you're going to go to a higher tier in the OTC markets. That's where you're going to be for a little while. Then you have to go and file your documents with the SEC, and you have to be compliant before you get to the NASDAQ. It doesn't happen that quickly. I don't care who says it, why they say it. You know, there's no payola in this situation. It is just reality. Don't take my word for it. Ask around. Ask around. Talk to a securities attorney. Okay, get information. All right, and don't rely on promotional tactics and promoters sending emails or sending, you know, creating these Telegram, these rooms and these chats and everything else and doing all this other stuff. Don't do it. Okay, better to be involved. If you're going to do stuff like that, just get involved in crypto. Right, start doing that. If you want to go and throw and gamble, you can get involved in meme coins and then gamble there. You know, but the reality is, you know, when you're talking about the pink sheet markets, just be vigilant. Don't like hearing stories, and I hear them all the time, with people that have, you know, lost a lot and they were taken advantage of, especially the elderly. Please be careful out there. Don't fall prey to this nonsense. You know, be vigilant. You may find an OTC pink sheet company that is viable, that really has a chance. Okay, and if you believe in it, you know the people and so on and so forth, then again, that's all on you to move forward or not. But just be vigilant. Due diligence matters. Okay, I wanted to focus on that during the show. It was on my mind for the past 2 weeks. I wanted to get it out, and I did. And I want to thank you for tolerating, you know, my rant on this, but it is important, and I hope that it gives you as investors, as listeners, some insight into that world. All right. Anyway, that's it for this episode of Money Never Sleeps Radio. I thank you for joining me, and we will be back with you with another episode soon. Thank you.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio. In your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host Louis Balakhef and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.